Thank you. So welcome all. And I don't know if the attendees can hear me now, but good. Welcome to all of you also. I'll read the public advisory, which is standard before Zoom public teleconference or video conference meetings these days. Pursuant to Section 3 of Executive Order N-29-20, issued by Governor Newsom on March 17, 2020, the June 14th, 2021 meeting of the Board of Library Trustees will be conducted exclusively through teleconference and Zoom video conference. Please be advised that pursuant to the executive order and the shelter in place order, and to ensure the health and safety of the public by limiting human contact that could spread the COVID-19 virus, there will not be a physical meeting location available. All right. To submit an email comment during the meeting to be read aloud during public comment, email bolt, B-O-L-T, at cityofberkeley.info with the subject line, public comment. Please be mindful that the teleconference will be recorded as any Board of Library Trustees meeting is recorded. And all other rules of procedure and decorum will apply for Board of Library Trustees meetings conducted by teleconference or video conference. This meeting will be conducted in accordance with the Brown Act, Government Code Section 54953. Any member of the public may attend this meeting. And I would comment that I don't know if everybody's using Zoom or calling in, but if you are on a phone, you need to press star nine, and then wait to be recognized, okay? I'm not sure if anybody is using just a phone today. So preliminary matters includes the roll call. That would be Eve, please.
Trustee Solaski.
Present.
Trustee Davenport.
Here.
Trustee Roth.
Here.
And Trustee Hahn.
Present.
Thank you.
Thank you. So do we have any public comment on non-agenda matters? That would be something other than the interview process at this point. I see one hand. And it's a phone number, 510-260-9274.
I'm going to allow them to talk.
Yes, please.
Hi, this is Andrea Malarkey, and I raised my hand too early, but on the phone, there's not a way to put my hand down. I apologize.
Okay. That's, I think, the only hand I see. Okay. Now, comments from Board of Library Trustees. Any comments? Sophie?
Are we going to be making some comments before we start the interviews, or is this it?
No, I was going to make a few very brief comments, kind of introductory.
Later?
Well, yeah, as we get into that, well, it's after these. It's the action item, which is the interview process. So,
okay, if you're going to call for comments on that, I'll make my comment at that time.
Okay, that sounds good.
Thank you.
So nobody else? No other board members? All right, so we do move now to the action calendar, which is the trustee interviews. First of all, I want to thank all the attendees, all the applicants. We have a rather large pool of, in my view, very qualified applicants, candidates. I want to thank you all for applying. And the care and concern for our public libraries and public institutions was very, very, very keen on many of these applications. And I particularly appreciate that. We're kind of guardians of the common good and the commons. And I know my colleagues on the board take that role seriously. My name is John Solosky. I am current president of the board. Should we go around and introduce ourselves? Please. Amy?
My name is Amy Roth. I am obviously I'm the vice president of the board, and I am the newest member. So whoever does the best interview gets that title, the newest member. And we're anxious to meet you all. As John said, the applications were very strong. It's going to be difficult to decide, but I hope everything will become clear.
Diane.
I'm Diane Davenport, and I'm in my second term on the Board of Library Trustees, and I have a history with working at the library and working with the Friends and working with the foundation and now being on the board. And I'm really looking forward to hearing all of our candidates both tonight and next Monday night. What a gang. I wish we had a board of 30. We could take them all, but it's going to be fun. And I look forward to meeting everyone who's here tonight and next week.
Sophie.
Thank you. I'm Sophie Hahn. I'm a city council member representing District 5 in Berkeley, and I'm also the council delegate to the Board of Library Trustees. I'm therefore a trustee as well, and just want to echo some of the comments that my colleagues have made. This is an absolutely outstanding show of love for Berkeley that so many people with such incredible qualifications are interested in serving the libraries and serving this community is just a great testament to how wonderful our city is and the people of Berkeley and their commitment to supporting our public institutions. So I just, I'm humbled to be here to listen to the comments that each individual presents. I know all of us, and certainly myself, have read all of the applications several times. And I share Trustee Davenport's desire to have a much larger board because it would be absolutely fantastic to be able to have so many of you join us. And I look forward to hearing from you, and we will have the truly impossible task of selecting among the many, many overwhelmingly qualified people who have stepped forward. So I just want to thank you ahead of time for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, trustees. Tess, you want to just introduce yourself, say a couple of words?
Thank you very much. I'm Tess Mayer, she, her pronouns, Director of Library Services. And I'm thrilled and honored that so many people, so many highly qualified people have stepped forward to participate in this process. I truly thank you, and I'm looking forward to meeting all of you.
Eve, you want to say hello?
Sure. I'm Eve Franklin. I'm the admin secretary for the administration office, and I work with admin staff and the board. So I will be talking to many of you.
Thank you. All right. We have a list, and it's alphabetical, just so folks know. And we are, I believe, interviewing, speaking with 12 candidates today, and we will see a like number next Monday, a similar number. It's either 12 or 13 next Monday. As I said, we have a lot of qualified applicants, candidates here. So I have Dana Elshire up first. So you want to, can we get her on? I think she is on.
Hey.
Can you hear, you can hear us, Dana, right?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and I can't see myself here, but I just wanted to, I use they, them pronouns, and it should be in my profile.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, as I said, we have a lot of candidates. We have a kind of, unfortunately, kind of a short time to interview. But we do have two questions and kind of a closing statement from you for tonight. We want to keep this to 10 minutes, roughly, because we do have to see 12 people tonight. So Dana, do you mind me calling you Dana?
You can call me Dana, yep.
All right. I believe you understand the role of Bolt and the role of a trustee. Again, we appreciate your interest, and we appreciate your concern for our libraries. And I'm going to start with question number one, if you don't mind, unless you have a question for us to start. Sophie, go.
John, you know, we published in the packet the exact questions and the number of minutes that would be allocated to each question. And I really think that we should stick with what we published. And I'm wondering if Eve has a timer that she could put up so that we can actually make sure that we are giving everybody the exact same question and the same amount of time to reply. I think we need to go with what we've published.
Thank you.
I can use my cell phone as a timer, but I don't know how to put it on the screen at this last minute, unfortunately.
Okay, well, I think we can probably hear the timer go off if there's a...
if you want to give us a 30-second, you know, warning, if you would.
I'm going to find a timer and should be able to share that momentarily.
Okay, I want to get started though.
Okay. Yeah.
So Dana, you still with us?
Yes, and I have my cell phone stopwatch.
Good. So this first question is 3 minutes.
Yeah.
What unique experiences, knowledge, and skills do you bring to serving on the Board of Library Trustees? How has your work in the community and its institutions informed your perspective?
Yeah, so thanks for having me. It's really good to see you all. And I echo all the sentiments about the applicants just being amazing. It fills me with a lot of trust and excitement. So I have a library background, public library and also academic library when I was an undergrad student, public library with Contra Costa. And that was really varied in terms of working both in San Pablo Library and Lafayette Library, but also going all around the county to do filming projects, working with people with the Reading Festival, combining with CCTV, things like that. I was the vice president of Bay Area Young Adult Librarians. But I think the fact that I've also done other things is where it really hits home. So now I'm a therapist, and I think it's really important, especially in Berkeley, thinking about all the different types of library users, right? And the ways that the library is a kind of multifaceted public service. It's not just about books. And so I'm bringing an experience that includes a background with mental health, with digital media. I did my undergrad in film and digital media, and also the ways in which I'm a kind of, you know, a community activist in terms of a range of different social justice issues. And so the way that that is multifaceted, and then in terms of my own identity being multifaceted, I was looking at the applicants, and there's such a range, and I'm like, oh, I appreciate that I'm like one of the younger candidates, or I'm the non-binary candidate. And so not to be identity politics based in that way, but I do actually think that should go into consideration. And I actually think there should be more consideration of the fact that there was not that many people who aren't white who applied. So I'm going to follow up with that later. But yeah, for me, thinking about community organizing and thinking about, you know, oh, there's, you know, big things like grants to think about, but there's, oh, thank you. But there's also, you know, just the nuance of interpersonal dynamics. So yeah. One thing I didn't say in my application is that I'm the president of a foundation. I think I'm pretty shy about that one in terms of my personal politics, but that's something that is a sort of financial oversight thing that I wanted to mention, so.
Thank you.
John?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt a second time here. First of all, I'm not sure if Dana wanted to be shown or not, but we're not seeing them. And I just wanted to make sure they understood that.
Yes, Dana, they indicated that they couldn't see themselves either on yeah. screen. So I think just the some kind of graphic is showing, photograph.
At least try to troubleshoot that. I think
It's from her or their yeah. end, because it's their image that's showing on my screen.
Oh no, I'm so sorry.
Right. So Dina, if you click on the video, the little arrow next to the stop video icon or the video icon, it should give you some settings, and you might be able to change a setting a specific camera. It's not imperative that you be visible to us at all, but
I wish you could see me. Yeah,
right. I wanted to make sure that you had that opportunity. And I think
we need to thought you could see me this whole time.
No.
I was like, I'm not distracted because I can't see my video.
I thought perhaps that was a confusion. Is there a use Zoom much?
I do, but I'm using my iPad as opposed to my personal computer because of the placement in my apartment.
Yes.
I should have troubleshooted that first. I mean, I also cannot see my video unless I switch screens. Like, I don't even see it on the...
Right. It's probably... There you go.
Now your audio you're muted. Your audio is off.
Your audio is off, but we see you, which I think we really are happy, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to see you face to face. And then, John, if you want me to share screen, I have a timer that will be visible to everyone.
Yeah, we're going to go into our second question, but Dana, you're still muted, I believe. At least according to my... There you go.
Now you're okay. You're there.
Okay, you didn't hear any of that. Okay. All right.
Okay, we're going to go into our second question. 3 minutes. Tell us about a time when you've demonstrated courage and championed diversity, equity, and or inclusion. And what were the biggest challenges you encountered in doing so?
Thank you. I sat with this one a lot. I'm really glad you're asking. And so there's many different examples in community organizing to think of, but I actually think that the ones that are most important are the ones that have to do with institutions and personal process, right? In terms of the question being about courage and challenge, right? And so the example that I want to bring forward is being in graduate school. Like I could say, oh, it was, you know, this community organizing thing, but I don't actually think that requires a lot of courage because it's about saying, I want this change, right? I think what takes the most courage is being self-reflexive and talking with people in a way that keeps them non-defensive, right? And so for me, that looks like looking at big institutions with power and saying like, well, what's happening in terms of you want this change to happen, but it's not actually happening, right? So when I was a graduate student in the somatic psych program at CIIS, there was definitely a divide between the aspirations of beloved community and the actual practice, both in classroom dynamics, in the curriculum, in terms of people who are hired, and that I would say primarily related to race, but it's certainly also related to gender in terms of there was a lot of stuff before I got there about bathrooms. And so the challenges really came down to making like actual action items, right? In the same way that you would do in community organizing and saying like, well, what are we trying to achieve? But then the ways in which people who, you know, think they know, myself included, right? We get in the way of ourselves, right? And so that's something that I think it's like Martin Luther King talks about, like from letter from a Birmingham jail, like the white liberal is the person to really be feared, right? And to me, that's what takes the most courage and like has the most challenges saying like, well, you know, it's not like, am I, but how am I? And being really self-reflexive and saying, we don't want to just add DEI, but we also want to think about like, you know, how are we being actively anti-racist in these systems, right? So that to me was challenging in terms of saying, well, the system is inherently got these things going in terms of the school. Yeah. I think I said most of what I wanted to say. Yeah, I also made a note of like thinking there's a right way, the slowness of change. Yeah, and just the ongoing commitment being important.
Thank you, Dana.
Thank you.
So, reset 2 minutes.
I think the next question is a 3 minute question.
Closing is 2 minutes.
I know, I'm sorry, closing is 2 minutes. I will do that. We will get this right. There you go.
Thank you. Good. So, Dana, I mean, this is, you know, the standard, you know, is there, and this is the question, is there anything else that you would like to share with us about your candidacy? And part of that is, are there any questions for us?
Oh, I thought that was second. That was another.
The two are one question.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. Okay. Yeah, I'm ready. Thank you. I'm a lifelong library user. My mom got me into libraries at a young age. I actually have a reading comprehension disability. And so I think what's really important about my love for libraries, it's not just about books, right? It's about information. It's about exchange of ideas and community. And what really politicized me to get involved in libraries was the Patriot Act, right? And was the protection of privacy. And I think for me, what I bring is thinking outside the box, right? Thinking about the ways in which technology is changing, the ways in which we can look to different communities and say like, oh, this is a potential library user, but why are they not using the service? And probably the people who need it most are the people who aren't using it, right? Like in the same way that somewhere like San Pablo Library, the majority of people, they're getting their internet service on their phone, right? So that feels really relevant to me. Obviously Berkeley's a different community, but I also worked in Lafayette. Something else that feels, well, I was gonna say something about being radical and like devoted to curiosity and diplomacy at the same time. So that feels noteworthy. Like I have pretty radical politics, but I also am really pro like government jobs. So there's something, a mix there. I would love to hear, but I don't know how much time you could actually answer in 2 minutes. Like how not just COVID has pivoted, but the ways in which thinking about like the specific applicants for the board has informed the way that you're thinking about strategic plan going forward, right? Like that just felt, it was really beautiful to see all the applicants. And I thought it was still very telling to think of who applied. So that's just something to ask rhetorically.
Yes. And it's a wonderful rhetorical question, which we could probably spend hours on. Dana, thank you so much. Thank you for putting yourself in this seat. And it's difficult to sit there and be evaluated by four other people who you don't really know, you know? But we really do appreciate your time and your concern for our libraries and your concern for our community and our city. Thank you.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you.
John, we forgot to do public comment and on this item. And there, I believe we have someone waiting to do public comment. looks like we should have done a little bit of a dress rehearsal.
Okay. It's not too late. Are there hands? I'll give people a few seconds for public comment because we are now on the interview process, which is the action item on our calendar. So again, it's, yes, I see Andrea.
Yes.
Is there anybody else? Go ahead.
Andrea. Okay. I apologize. My earlier hand up, not hand down, now hand up is a sort of confusing when I call in on the phone. My name is Andrea Malarkey. I use she, they pronouns. I am an SEIU 10-to-1 member leader and a librarian at the Taria Hall Pittman South Branch. And I just wanted to say a couple of comments about this process. The first is to acknowledge the hard work done by the Board of Library Trustees and the important role you all have in bringing stability to the libraries and to the services to this community, and to express gratitude for the inclusive way that that has been pursued, and my hope that it will continue on into the future. And to speak to the general characteristics that are important to the union at this time as we go forward, obviously diversity and continues to be a key factor for us as a union. We believe in having leadership represent the full diversity of the community, and that is obviously challenging to do, and it is something that I hope that you will pay attention to as you pursue this process. And the other thing that has been particularly important to us, as we have seen over the many years of the library's history, is that experience in a union environment can be incredibly useful among the leadership team as we go forward. It is a thing that is important to us as a union to have somebody who understands labor and understands how labor environments work, not because we're always going to agree, but because We can avoid a lot of unnecessary problems when that is part of the background and experience and knowledge that a candidate brings. And so those are the two things I'd love for you to have on your mind as you go forward through this process. And I will echo the comments of all of you that it is just a wonder and a delight to have so many incredibly talented candidates applying. It tells me that you all have made this look like a thing worth doing, and it has not always been true in this library. And I bring my librarian heart full to the process as you go forward. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments and your patience also. Sorry to keep you waiting. Okay. Last call for any other public comment. I don't see any other hands. I think we can go back to our candidates. And the next one up is Howard Besser.
And we need to bring Dana Alshire off of the dais here. I don't know if Eve is doing that or you're doing that, John.
No, Eve is doing that.
Yeah.
I hope. I don't think I have that capability yet. No, I don't. And plus I'm juggling a couple of other things.
So if I just click on remove, it says they're not going to be able to rejoin the webinar, and I don't want to shut them out totally.
There should be a way to move them back to the other room.
Yeah.
We do it all the time at council. I can text the
if you kick me off, I'll just rejoin on my phone. Thank you.
Here, I just hit it.
Okay, thank you. All right, Howard is on. Howard Besser. Good. So, Howard, welcome.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So,
thank you for joining us. Thank you for putting yourself out.
And thank all of you for all of the time you've put into volunteering to be on the library board. So John, are you gonna ask questions or am I just gonna respond?
Yeah, I'll ask the question.
Okay.
Question number one is 3 minutes. There you go. What unique experiences, knowledge, and skills do you bring to serving on the Board of Library Trustees? How has your work in the community and its institutions informed your perspective?
I've spent 25 years as an academic administrator managing budgets, more in the range of like 12 million, not 22 million. But I've had to balance priorities, navigate between different constituencies, and always doing this in a transparent and a consultative process with all of those involved. That's kind of the administrative part that I bring to this. I also bring 30 years of active participation in the American Library Association, and particularly in the Social Responsibilities Roundtable. And just to give you a little kind of idea of where that comes in and how that might be relevant, next week, we're having our annual ALA conference. We're featuring the journalist who's responsible for the groundbreaking New York Times Magazine Project 1619 about the origins of slavery. And so what is going to come out of that is, how do we take that groundbreaking work and turn it into library programs? And how can we integrate that kinds of thing into libraries? Other kinds of things we work on within ALA and CERT, changing pejorative subject headings like illegal aliens to undocumented. And more recently, in the last month, we've been working on the most recent massive consolidations in library vendors and how that's going to really, we're going to have to collectively respond to that with the kind of leverage that these library vendors have over us as their library customers. In terms of locally, I think it's really important for the library to collaborate with existing community projects. So for example, in the 1990s, my student Anirvan Chatterjee became very interested in South Asian history of Berkeley. He did a lot of research. This led to walking tours that that he and others have been putting on for a number of years, very popular. And this led directly to the recent renaming of Shattuck Square as Calabagate Way. More recently, my student, Mary Jackson, my student in New York.
Howard, I'm sorry, that was 3 minutes.
I'm sorry.
We have a really tight schedule. I'm sorry. I wish I could let you go on, but we have a tight schedule.
I cannot see the clock.
Oh.
Is it currently shared? Are people seeing it?
Yes.
Well, I see it, but I didn't know the candidates couldn't see it.
I can't see it. I saw it during the previous person, but I can't see it now.
All right, so we should give a 30-second warning. All right, Howard, question number two. And, you'll have 2 minutes for a closing, so you can use some of that time if you want to. Question number two, which is 3 minutes. Tell us about a time when you've demonstrated courage and championed diversity, equity, and or inclusion. And what were the biggest challenges you encountered in doing so?
In November, I put together a major session for the annual Moving Image Archivist Conference called How to Handle Racist and Colonial Material in Our Collection. We discussed everything from labeling and disclaimers to adding introduction contextualization, changing offensive subject headings, highlighting and promoting racist non-colonial materials. But the biggest challenge for that was adding a last minute program session in the wake of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement. But probably more important, for the past 3 years, I've run an intensive training sessions in digital privacy for public librarians. This is 5 hours a week for 4 to 6 months. The focus is on working with existing community organizations to help train particularly vulnerable groups like LGBT teens being outed or doxxed, seniors from identity theft, immigrants from La Migra. And each cohort had progressively more BIPOC recruits. The final cohort last year was 50% Black Indigenous people of color, 10% gender nonconforming. And this is in a library field where only 15% of librarians are BIPOC. And BIPOC attendance in workshops involving technology is notoriously minuscule. So what I learned from that, obviously, things like tokenism isn't diversity. Diverse individuals need to be in leadership positions. The pool of instructors need to be diverse. Testimonials from previous diverse participants are important, as is word of mouth and reputation. And topics and angles covered need to be of particular interest to those from diverse communities. So integrating things with social justice issues and others.
Thank you, Howard.
How was I on time?
That was good. That was good. We didn't have the timer on, unfortunately, but I was keeping track on my watch. It seemed to be about right. Thank you. So closing, and this is 2 minutes.
Okay, so I'd like to go where I
was. Let me get the clock started here. Okay. 1 second.
Okay, I'm good. I'm sorry. I was trying to get a little help from the clerk on how to manage the other elements of the meeting. So I lost focus.
So Howard, it's is there anything else you would like to share with us about your candidacy?
I'd like to go back to that first question that I was answering. Sure. My student, Mary Jackson, my student in New York, was born and raised in South Berkeley. Her MA thesis for me involved planning a digital archive, gathering historic photos of the vibrant African-American district on South Sacramento Street. She combined this with insurance maps, Green Book information, creating an index of Black-owned businesses. It's now part of the South Berkeley Legacy Project. And when I think about this and the South Asian Project, I think the library should partner with and promote these projects on Berkeley's rich, forgotten, multi-ethnic history. Things like library exhibits, co-sponsorship of existing walking tours, public speaking events, working with secondary school teachers to assign history lessons and research projects. And the South Sacramento Street Project could even attract outside funding to create a virtual reality tour of the neighborhood, further exciting young people about our local ethnic history. And all of this is part of what I strongly believe in: partnering, collaboration, leveraging existing community activities without putting undue pressure on library staff. And this would include not just these diversity issues, but like Sophie Hahn sent out an email this morning about Berkeley architectural history, leveraging that and getting the library involved in that. So those are my kind of last statements.
Yep. Well, you're down to 12 seconds, so that was perfect. Thank you, Howard. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
A pleasure. And thank you again for your time and your commitment and your obvious care and concern for our libraries and our community and our city.
And thank you all.
We appreciate it.
Thank you all for everything you've been doing for so many years for the library.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Eve. We're going to get the next person up in a minute. We have Jessica Brennan.
Hello.
Yes.
I see Eve. I don't see Jessica. There we go. Sorting it out. Unmuted and trying to start a video.
There you are.
There you are. Well, you were there. Yeah. Okay. Right, so Jessica, thank you. I think you've probably been listening.
Yes,
so
I have.
You know, we basically have 10 minutes per candidate, which is nowhere near enough time. But since we have 25 candidates, it's like, you know, there's really no other way of working this through.
Absolutely. And I'm ready.
Unless we spent the rest of our lives doing this, right? we do really appreciate your time and commitment here. Obviously, you've all put in work on your applications, and you've given this some thought. So I'm going to start with the first question, which is 3 minutes. And Sophie, you're going to get that started.
I will after you ask the question.
When I ask the question, thank you so much. So, Jessica, what unique experiences, knowledge, and skills do you bring to serving on the Board of Library Trustees? How has your work in the community and its institutions informed your perspective?
Okay. We ready?
Yes.
You can start it. Okay. So first I want to acknowledge that I do not have the library experience that so many of the other many candidates have, but I think I can add value in other avenues. I've always adored libraries and would love to work in a library setting someday, but so far my experience has been from an outsider's perspective. It's not a bad thing, I don't think, as I believe a board should be made up of both those who have insider knowledge as well as those who do not. So what can I bring to the board? I come from a different generation than your average candidate, I feel, and can bring kind of a youthful perspective. Many who are able to serve as board members wait until they're retired and have the free time to dedicate to it. I'm in a unique position where I'm still at home with two small-ish elementary school age children, and I'm not in a huge rush to head back to the workplace, and I have time to commit. So with that, I bring a young family who uses libraries differently than maybe the older generation would use them. So I have some knowledge about what might be lacking for the younger crowd and also what we as modern day parents might be looking for from a library. Coming off this pandemic year, I'm also able to bring knowledge about how sorely missed the library was for the youngest of patrons, something that those who do not live with little children may not have seen firsthand. Those who are unable to read found the electronic sources woefully lacking throughout the last year, and we found that there's no substitute for a physical book and that the computer is no substitute for in-person activities that the library would often offer. So I'd love to be a part of kind of bringing the library back to life. As well as the two children, I also am married to a first-generation immigrant. He hails from the UK, and you might not think of that as an immigrant when you say immigrant, but he is first-generation here. So many different things he thinks about differently in life, including libraries. We've lived here in Berkeley for the last 7 years, but because my husband is not American, we've had some unique opportunities to live and travel in many different parts of the world. We've gone from small town in Oregon to a college town in Oregon to big cities like New York and Sydney, and all of them use libraries in a different way, differently from each other and also differently from here in Berkeley. I also have a fair amount of knowledge from an administrative perspective. I've worked in a lot of different industries as an office manager. I've run a law office, construction company, plumbing company, and run my own small sailing business with my husband here at the Berkeley Marina. So I have very good understanding of finances, budgets, and operations. I've also served on two other boards and also currently volunteering with and a member of Friends of the Library.
Wow, you hit it right on the head. Thank you. Thank you, Jessica. Question number two is also 3 minutes. And tell us about a time when you've demonstrated courage in championing diversity, equity, and/or inclusion. And what were the biggest challenges you encountered in doing so?
Okay, so about 3 years ago, I found myself really desperate for a babysitter and seeking a way to find a babysitter without having to individually call every single babysitter that I knew. So basically I was looking for the modern day version of the Babysitter's Club. If you don't know the Babysitter's Club, they're books from the like early 90s, right? And it's a group of girls that you could reach with one phone number and you'd hit all of them and they'd find a babysitter for you. So I was looking for that. That's what I wanted, neighborhood teens that I could reach easily. So I started with my own neighborhood, moved out to with next door and came up this list of teens interested in babysitting, all of who could reach with one email. Vast majority of them were girls. And at some point we ended up with one boy. And as soon as I saw my boys with a boy babysitter, I knew that I needed to get more boys on my list. It felt very, very female dominated. And so I was trying to include more boys. So the way that the boy babysitter played with my boys was so like different than how the girls were, where they did more active play and it was less like taking care of my kids. It was more like enjoying them and hanging out with them. So then this is where I'm part of my story where I was championing for diversity. I started seeking out the teen boys who would babysit. And at first it was a huge struggle because it seems like, I guess as a society, we don't think of boys as nurturing and caring, and maybe they are not thinking of themselves that way. So I even reached out to parents of teens and it continued to be, all girl moms who would like throw their children's names at me saying that they're so good with kids. So at some point I had to encourage more boys. I started adding things like yard work and help moving furniture and pet sitting and dog walking and things that boys would feel more comfortable, being part of this group. There were these other tasks involved. So in the end, it really helped motivate, get boys into the group. And when it was all said and done, I find that the boys are much better at like responding and like being the babysitters, and they take on babysitter roles no problem anymore. It was just getting them to join the group in the first place. I called it the babysitters club. Maybe that was part of the problem. So the biggest challenge there was the societal pressure of our like perceived notion that boys don't babysit. We have no rational reason for that. But I didn't want my boys thinking that it's only girls who do this. So
good. Thank you. We didn't have the clock running, but I was kind of keeping track on my watch, and that was very close. Thank you. I appreciate that. So, Jessica, closing, it's this kind of the standard closing. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us about your candidacy? Mm-hmm. And certainly any questions for any of us or the board, mm-hmm. or the director for that matter.
Right. So the only last minute things I have to say is that I put this in my application, but my grandfather worked in a library for like 30 years. He was a head acquisitions librarian at the University of Oregon, I'm from Oregon. And as a kid, I thought nothing of it. Wasn't his son, my father kind of poo-pooed the like academic life. And so I didn't have a strong thoughts on it other than my dad didn't like it. But the older I get, the more I'm like, that was such a cool job. And I would love to be part of the library in some way. And I do have two quick questions for you guys. One is, as board members, how many hours during the week or month do you guys actually spend on board matters?
Well, it can be somewhat seasonal, and it can be dependent on what's going on. When we were looking for a director, and that took a lot of time, obviously. A lot of preparation, a lot of interviewing, a lot of deliberations by the trustees. It actually is somewhat, the budget takes some time. So, it's somewhat dependent on circumstances at the library itself and mm-hmm. somewhat seasonal.
Okay, and then my other quick question is, now that we're kind of coming out of the pandemic, do you guys have plans to start having these board meetings in person again?
Oh, I hope so.
The city is going to have, we take our cue from the city.
Yeah, Tom, I can speak to that. I can answer that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the agenda committee for the city council actually just discussed that today. Governor Newsom just issued a new order today that we can remain remote if we choose until the 30th of September. And I believe that we will probably do that, mostly because coming up with a hybrid version that is only going to be used for a short period of time is complicated. And since the remote is working for now, and we've figured out all the Brown Act issues, if not all the technology, we probably will not be switching over until we are sure that we're going to be able to go back permanently. But there certainly is the intent to go back. In fact, we will probably be required to go back when the governor lifts that order.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time and your interest. Take care. Okay. We have coming up Joseph Curran.
Sophie, is there a way that I could not see your screen that I can do?
You can just use your cursor.
Yeah.
And pull the sort of dividing line between.
Yes.
And you can just move that over and my screen gets smaller and smaller.
Thank you very much.
The screen is bigger. Perfect. And bigger.
Thank you.
Okay, so.
I can't see myself.
Joseph, there you are.
You can see me, you can hear me. Okay, I can't see myself, but I trust I'm there.
Yeah, we can see you and we can hear
you.
Thank you.
We can see you, yeah.
Okay, good evening.
Okay, so as you know, we have a lot of candidates. This is a 10-minute interview. And I'm, you know, certainly not enough time, but it's what we have. So we're making the best use of it, right? So first of all, thank you for your interest and your participation and your care for both the libraries and our community. I'm going to start with question number one, which is 3 minutes. And what unique experiences, knowledge, and skills do you bring to serving on the Board of Library Trustees? How has your work in the community and its institutions informed your perspective?
Okay, that's a great question. Start at the beginning. I'm a recent retiree. So Jessica referred to, you know, being the older end of the age spectrum and having free time being a recent retiree. But I also have young kids too. So I got both worlds going. I retired as a director of Library and Recreation Services in Daly City. It's a city across the bay you may have heard of. I was in that role for the past 8 years. And in fact, the pandemic really kind of is what got me to retire while I had a schedule, because I did have two kids at home who were both doing remote learning. And I don't know if you've had experience with that, but especially in the beginning part of the pandemic, that was a little bit shaky. So I had the opportunity to retire and spend time as a stay-at-home dad and keeping my kids on track. Before I was in the as the director of Library and Recreation Services, by the way, I worked very closely with the Library Board of Trustees in the city of Daly City, as well as the nonprofit friends groups. I had a full career in municipal government, going back, believe it or not, 35 years doing it. And I had the opportunity to work in every part of municipal government services, from finance, public works, police, even water and wastewater. Got, you know, did a little stint at the sewage treatment plant to get a real understanding of operations. That's about half of my answer. Now to shift over to the institutions of Berkeley, the number one institution of Berkeley. I love music, and I grew up in LA at a great time when the punk rock scene was exploding, and it was great to move over. I've been in Berkeley for 15 years, but to me, the institution of Berkeley before I ever moved here was Gilman Street, which really was quite a dynamic force in the East Bay music scene. That really, you know, with bands like Green Day, Mr. T Experience, and a bunch of other Berkeley bands, really put Berkeley on the map internationally for music. And to me, that was huge. That was my connection to the institution part of Berkeley. I certainly participate in the community. I, on top of being retired and spending time with my kids, you haven't heard any barking yet, but I'm one of those guys that got a pandemic puppy. So I walk my dog through the streets of Berkeley every day, really getting a sense of what our community is like out there from, you know, street level view. And I got to say, sometimes it's a little distressing. And sometimes it's like a day like today is so glorious and beautiful. I'm so thankful to be here. And really, now that I am retired, I look forward to giving back to community. I owe so much to local government and libraries in particular. I grew up in libraries. I spent so much time in libraries all through college. now's my time to give back. And I think that's my 3 minutes.
Thank you. That was 3 minutes. Thank you so much. When you mentioned the punk scene in LA, I knew you were going to mention Gilman Street. I knew it.
It's a landmark. It is
kind of iconic. It kind of is iconic in Berkeley. Question number two. 3 minutes again. Tell us about a time when you've demonstrated courage and championed diversity, equity, and or inclusion. What were the biggest challenges you encountered in doing so?
Okay, we turn the clock back just about 1 year in the wake of the George Floyd murder. My library staff really wanted this to be a starting point to move forward because I think they did a lot of reflection and libraries hadn't moved progressively. You know, you talked about some of the material in the collection and the bias toward, you know, everything from staffing and collections and everything else. And they thought, you know, this is really an opportunity to make this a learning moment for us. So I worked closely with the union, AFSCME, and that was one of the comments earlier. I had a great working relationship with the union leadership and the library staff at all levels. And they really wanted to put together an anti-racist training, which I thought was the most brilliant idea, and the timing was perfect. And, you know, with the pandemic, trying to keep library staff engaged with the libraries closing, we're doing curbside and stuff, but trying to give them an opportunity to really be engaged in a meaningful way over the course of a 40-hour week, I was looking at every possible training opportunity, and I thought this was going to be the best one. So where does the courage come in? I was absolutely dumbfounded and shocked when the director of human resources and the city manager that I worked for didn't think it was a good idea. And in fact, they kind of rolled their eyes. They didn't like the title of it. And they really didn't want me to do it. But I suppose, I don't know if it was stupid or courageous. I went forward and we did this training with the staff. And I thought it was great. Tons of positive feedback from those who participated. And it was optional. We didn't make it a mandatory training thing, but the majority of the full-time staff all took advantage of it and thought it was really meaningful. And I think it kind of changed the minds of the city manager and the human resources director that, yeah, maybe this is a worthwhile thing. And certainly in the months that followed, you know, Daly City is going through their own issue with, I don't know, it wasn't a big news story on this side of the bay, but Daly City Police shot and killed a Black man who was, you know, in a parked car and four cops. And so anyway, it really, our staff was sort of ahead of the curve when this whole powder keg of political unrest sort of hit home there in a place that's not really known for political activism. It is not Berkeley, Daly City. It's not. Anyway, I thought that was a pretty courageous thing looking back on it. And I've got 8 seconds to spare, but I'll end there. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good. So we have, you have 2 minutes for your closing. And you know, it's somewhat your standard. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us about your candidacy? And certainly any questions of us, for us?
I definitely would like to thank E. Franklin and all of you for, you know, setting this up and making the time for us. I was really blown away when I had heard how many applicants there were. Because frankly, like I mentioned, I worked with the Library Board of Trustees in Daly City for the last 8 years. And I worked for the city for the last 25 years. I don't think we had 20 applicants for a Library Board of Trustees position in the last 20 years. I mean, it was like pulling teeth to get somebody to serve there. So I was pleasantly surprised that the community here in Berkeley was so behind libraries. And I thought that was great. I've got a lot of concerns too, you know, living through the pandemic, ready to transition back into the real world. We've had a whole year of some learning loss, no doubt, you know, having kids and watching them struggle with distance learning. it's not the same when you have access to a classroom and the libraries and the resources that libraries provide. I think the future of the library is something that really intrigues me too. There's been some talk about expanding the library's role in preserving community history. I think that's a huge, huge thing for libraries to take on in an age where we have the ability now to do digital archiving of photos and records and artifacts. I think that's a perfect thing for libraries to take on. And I love Berkeley's history. I love history in general. And I had an opportunity to talk to Greg Lucas, who's California State Librarian, about exactly that stuff. He shares the same passion that there is so much wealth of information in our communities. And it might be sitting in somebody's basement in a box that isn't going to be seen. And really to get some of this important, rich historical stuff out where people can assess it, I think that would be a huge, wonderful thing for the libraries to do going forward. I see my time.
Thank you.
And that went fast.
That was the 2 minutes. Wonderful.
It was. And I said about a third of what I wanted to say, maybe, if that.
So, Joseph, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your interest. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for your time here. It's very much appreciated by all of us.
I thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We're moving on to Veronica Sikorska.
Veronica, I believe.
Oh, Veronica. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Veronica. All right. Oh, let me get my papers in order here. Veronica, I think you're with us.
I'm here.
Okay, good.
I don't see her, John.
I do.
Oh, wait a minute. I heard her for a moment.
Yeah.
Diane, expand the size of your screen. There's so many people on now that haven't been brought back off that you may need to go to a second page to see former council member Hugson.
This is very strange.
It's been a strange year.
I think it has been. We are all learning new tricks and.
Yep. And it's amazing we're all quite capable of doing that.
But I think we're all the better for it in many ways.
I would agree with that. First of all, thank you for coming.
Oh,
for
thank
participating,
you.
For putting your name in the hopper. As you know, we have, you know, it's a 10-minute process for each candidate. We have many candidates, so, you know, that's the only way we could work through this. I'm going to start with question number one. I'll read it. Sophie is ready with the timer. 3 minutes on this first question. What unique experiences, knowledge, and skills do you bring to serving on the Board of Library Trustees? How has your work in the community and its institutions informed your perspective?
Okay, well, I've lived in this community for many, many decades, and you've all seen in my application that I was a city council member elected at large before you had district elections, the last election at large, in fact. I don't know where that was going. And I was the vice mayor of the city as well. I served with Gus Newport, a very special relationship. I also have worked in this community for all the time I've been here. I came here to go to grad school and I stayed. I taught at the university. I worked in the Berkeley Public Schools and a number of other places. So in addition to that training, I also have a master's degree in social work. So I'm a little bit multifaceted. I clearly understand what meetings are all about. I understand the process. I understand budgets. I've chaired many meetings. I'm on boards. I've been a member of of many different organizations in which I've had to be in or chosen to be in meetings. I've always tried to work in terms of getting consensus. I don't like anything that's ad hominem. I think it's really important when one's on a board that one really has to try to bring out the agreements and minimize the disagreements as much as possible. My students at the university were from many different countries. I'm used to being around people from many different cultures and from different languages. In fact, I'm a linguist by training. And so language to me is very, very important. And this has been a very interesting year with all of the changes in language and the use of language and what people are saying and they are not saying. So I think I have learned an awful lot this year. What else can I tell you about myself? I live off Gilman Street, but I'm not a punk. I'm not a punk musician. I'm actually a classical singer. But I thought that was great. I live in West Berkeley off Gilman Street. I made a note of that because I thought that was really kind of fun. And I go by those locations very, very often. I think that's about enough to tell you. I think that you know that having been in my position, my elected positions, my appointed positions, I am familiar with the organizations. I'm familiar with a lot of city workers. I've had many, many heads of departments as people I would consider good colleagues. I've had difficulties as well, but I've always felt we look for the best in each other.
Thank you. Question number two, 3 minutes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about a time when you've demonstrated courage and championed diversity, equity, and or inclusion. What were the biggest challenges you encountered in doing so?
Actually, I don't think I would term it so much courage, because talking about DEI, it seems everybody's talking about it now this year. And I'm afraid some people are talking about it because it's the kind of right thing to do, the proper thing to do, but they don't really understand what it's all about and they're not going to get very far with it. But I come to DEI as a matter of social conscience. It seems to me that in organizations, we have absolutely no choice but to emphasize diversity and inclusion and equity. I mean, this year has pointed it out, but we've been lax in many, many ways for a very, very long time. As president of the Master Gardeners of Alameda County for 5 years, was instrumental in really pushing DEI and in fact getting the state, we're part of the University of California as gardeners, getting the state to bring their DEI people and give us continuing education credits. And I was instrumental in getting my colleagues, about 175 of them, to actually attend those DEI workshops. And then we also did workshops on implicit bias. All of that was really, really very important. I didn't realize that I was going to be honored by my organization. And there was a write-up done by the state about me that appeared in the April newsletter. So I'd be happy to send a copy of it to you. It was an absolute surprise. I was considered a volunteer with heart. I also sing with Berkeley Community Chorus and Orchestra. And, you know, we're basically a white organization, but we have worked really hard to try to bring young people from Berkeley High School in. We've offered scholarships. We've offered auditor positions to people. When we come out of this pandemic and we're able to sing again in person and concertize, we are going to be doing an extraordinary piece of music, which is based on gospel and spiritual music. And I was able to convince our conductor that in that effort, we need to reach out to members of other parts of this community, specifically the churches in South Berkeley and the wonderful, wonderful singers who are there, and invite them to join us and figure out a way that we can highlight how very, very important this music is to all of us for a number of different reasons, not only musically, but also because it has a very, very deep history connected with the slave movement and everything else we know that is wrong with the history of this country.
Thank you so much. Okay, Veronica, closing is 2 minutes. And is there anything else that you would like to share with us about your candidacy?
Well, I guess I could say something else about DEI, in that we train master gardeners. We give 16 weeks of training to new people to certify as master gardeners. And I've been doing that for about 5 years. I trained in 2006, but I saw to it as the head of the training committee that we took a look at the demographics of Alameda County, and we changed our application so that we included food justice and a number of other issues. And we, although we score the applications blindly, we have given certain credits to people depending on where they come from, the languages that they speak, mm-hmm. the communities that they will be able to reach out to. Because even though some of my colleagues said they didn't want to do all of this DEI stuff, it was taking away from their time and what they wanted to do. I said, if we're members of the community and we do outreach, we need to understand to whom we're supposed to outreach. And we're not reaching out only to people who are retired and or people who have a lot of leisure time or people who can afford gardeners but want something else done. We're reaching out to people who truly need our services. And I think that's what the library board is doing as well. The library is extremely special in this city and in this country, a free public library for everybody. And I think since I like talking to people, I love being at the library and seeing what people are reading. I just started a new job. I work one shift a week at the Humane Society thrift store on Lower Solano, partly because it gives me a chance to talk to more people and find out what's going on with them and how they've done through this year and how they feel about this community and the kind of changes that we can make. I think all of those things are really important.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your interest and your participation today and
May
during
I ask
the application
you a question?
Process. And we wish you well.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yes,
you may ask a question.
I may.
Absolutely.
Well, my question was about process. You have so many, there's no unqualified person. You have so many applicants. How are you going to do your process? Are you going to winnow it down to a certain number, or have you not decided upon that yet?
We don't have the set procedure, but I suspect that's where we will winnow it down.
You have
yes.
any timeline?
And
we hope to
we,
make a decision. Board,
the trustees are going to have to. We're going to have to
either water or
have some time for deliberation.
More tea, if there is, or whatever. Okay. Yeah, it's good to have
that. Amy, you are not muted.
Oh, thank you. I thought I was.
And John, I seem
just ordering my dinner.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you,
thank
Sophie.
You.
Thank you.
Stay
thank
well
you.
And stay healthy. Stay
Thank
healthy
you.
And stay safe, I mean.
All right.
I'm not on.
John, I'm not sure if you saw that Tess was waving her hand a little bit there. I'm not sure if that was a question or a reply. Tess?
I wanted to simply explain that the final decision-making process will be taking place at the July 7th public board meeting. So I just wanted to address that part of the question. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's very helpful to know.
Okay.
I should perhaps also note that the process that Bolt does is to recommend a candidate to the city council, but but the actual selection ultimately is done by the city council.
Yes, the city council has final say. City council has final say. All right, so we have our next candidate, who is Mary Guild. I'm not sure about the pronunciation, and Mary can help me with that. Let's see now. So, Mary, unmute yourself.
Hello.
Oh, good.
Am I here?
Yes, you are there. I can hear you. I can see you.
Fantastic.
Pronounce your last name for me.
Guild.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
You bet.
You've probably heard we have 10 minutes per candidate, essentially because we have a lot of candidates. But thank you for taking the time to interview, for taking the time on your application, and thank you for the care you have for the libraries and for our community. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So we have 10 minutes. Question number one is 3 minutes. What unique experiences, knowledge, and skills do you bring to serving on the Board of Library Trustees? How has your work in the community and its institutions informed your perspective?
All right. I am trained as an attorney. I work as an attorney at the Homeless Action Center. And in my professional life as a lawyer, I've worked as a public defender and now as a public interest lawyer, representing folks exclusively for the past 16 years who have mental health conditions and other disabilities. So that has enabled me to develop, to be able to develop trust and rapport with people from widely varying backgrounds and experiences. And in working at Homeless Action Center at HAC for the past 14 years, 10 of them at the Berkeley location, I think I'm uniquely positioned to see the needs of a certain segment of our community, the folks with the lowest incomes, people experiencing homelessness, people living in poverty, people dealing with mental illness and substance use problems. And many of those folks, as you know, rely on the library for all sorts of different things. I've also served on the board of directors for the Yay Shelter at a kind of a tumultuous time for the Yay. We performed 2 executive director searches. I served during the time we got year-round funding from the city and when we made the decision to merge with the Covenant House. So that has given me some experience on a board. I served as the co-chair and later as the secretary. And my position at HAC is as the deputy director. I've taken part in a number of extensive trainings on nonprofit management. I recently, in February, completed a women's leadership program at the Yale School of Management. I've been involved in creating and managing a multi-million dollar budget with Homeless Action Center and also at the Yay. And because of this, I'm familiar with city and county funding processes. I have some experience assisting with grant writing. I've been involved in personnel matters, sensitive issues like performance and termination issues. I have organizational skills and interpersonal skills and leadership skills. And finally, I volunteered at the library where my kids went to school at Emerson Elementary for about 4 years, just doing shelving of books and covering books and helping kids find books that interested them. And that was the highlight of my week, to spend time in the library. So that's what brings me here tonight.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much. Question number 2 is also 3 minutes. Tell us about a time when you've demonstrated courage and championed diversity, equity, and or inclusion. What were the biggest challenges you encountered in doing so?
So I'll say first off that I don't consider anything I've done to have been particularly courageous. just given my extensive privilege as a white woman and also my positional privilege in my organization. But that being said, I have tried to center DEI in my work, particularly for the past 3 to 5 years. When I first became the deputy director in 5 years ago, I became involved in all the hiring. I often had the last word on hiring decisions. And at that point, I made sure that we were expanding our recruitment efforts to law schools that were historically Black and to minority bar associations. I made sure that we were interviewing qualified people of color, requested that we not redact resumes so that we could see all of the clubs and memberships and schools that folks had gone to, because I wanted to include more people of color in the interview process. And diversity among our staff did increase when that happened. We still have a long way to go. We've been sort of focusing on DEI issues for the past 2 to 3 years in particular. And I've realized that just living in a white supremacist society trickles down to everything despite our best intentions. We've had a number of really difficult meetings with all of our staff, and I've just strived to be humble, to realize I don't have the answers to everything, and to realize that I experience things differently due to my privilege as the leader in the organization. As a leader, I'm not the leader. I've often borne the brunt of the criticism that hack and that I am part of the white supremacist system, part of racism, acting as white saviors. And I try to look at those statements and sort of see what's behind them and examine myself to see if there's truth there and make changes where I can and where I need to. And through all my work at Homeless Action Center, I strive to center the needs of our clients. Our clients are about 65% Black, despite coming from the county where that is not the demographic makeup. I practice radical acceptance of my clients and their choices. I'm thinking of one time in particular when a Black client came into the office and was called the N-word by a white client in our office and became upset and was yelling at staff. And after that that incident had calmed down, some of the white staff were uncomfortable and wanted to ban him because he had been angry and said some threatening things. And there was no, I was not about to ban someone who had come in and been verbally assaulted by someone else, despite the pushback and the lack of comfort from some of the other folks on staff.
Thank you, Mary. It was pretty good timing there. we have a closing of 2 minutes. So is there anything else that you would like to share with us about your candidacy? And certainly any questions for us?
Yeah, I would just say that I was on the board of the YAY for a number of years. And after I left that position, I was on the PTA board at the school. And it's been a couple of years since I've had a volunteer gig. And so when I saw the opening for the Board of Library Trustees, that just seemed to really call to me as something that I do have time for, I have energy for right now, and I have a passion for it. The library has always been a happy place to me. So I would be happy to join the board. I think that the goal of centering diversity, equity, and inclusion is a good one. And I recognize that I may not be the best person for that particular goal. And so, you know, just wanted to say that I totally understand that. And thank you for your consideration.
Mary, thank you. And we really do appreciate your participation and your concern and care for our libraries and our community. I got to say, thank you for your work also.
Oh, thanks so much.
all right. Mary, we're going to move on. We have trustees. Can I ask you a question? We've gone through six. Do we need a 5-minute break here, or we just keep plugging along?
I can keep going.
Okay.
Yeah. We're good. We have another candidate teed up.
Yeah. Beverly Green should be next.
She is with us.
Good. So, Beverly, can you hear me?
Yes, and I can.
There you are.
Yeah.
And I can hear you. Very good. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for participating and your interest. You've heard we have 10 minutes per candidate, primarily because we have so many candidates. I wish we had more time. So I'm going to ask question number one. Sophie will hit the 3-minute button. Question number one is 3 minutes. What unique experiences, knowledge, and skills do you bring to serving on the Board of Library Trustees? How has your work in the community and its institutions informed your perspective?
First of all, thank you for advancing my candidacy for the Board of Library Trustees. My name is Beverly Green. I'm the Executive Director of External Affairs, Marketing, and Communications at AC Transit. I grew up in Berkeley and have been part of this community for the vast majority of my life. I was formerly the Executive Director of Small Press Distribution, the nation's only nonprofit literary, poetry, and cultural writing nonprofit, which is right here in the country. Prior to my time being on the executive director, I was actually on its board of directors and was its treasurer. And in the 11th grade, I worked reshelving books at the Berkeley Public Library and read every inch of the old stacks and the Dewey Decimal System by heart. I have an MBA and a Master of Business Administration and a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration. My background includes strategic planning, legislative advocacy, marketing, communication, staff development, organizational efficiency. I've had profit and loss responsibility. I've had to do budgeting in good times and in bad. I've worked in the public sector, private sector, nonprofit, and a startup. In my work, I currently work in a unionized environment with AFSCME, ATU, and IBEW members. I'm grounded in this community. My history, I hadn't realized how lucky I was to grow up in Berkeley, but my experience in involvement in protest is rich. when I was in the fourth grade, we used to have what was called resource teachers. And I never thought about how much this shaped me or how important it was. But when I was in the fourth grade, starting in the fourth grade, we had resource teachers. And so I had, at a very young age, I had Black studies, and this was for a couple of years. I had Black studies, I had Chinese studies, and I had Chicano studies. And that's what they were called. When I was in the fourth grade, those were the groups. And I hadn't realized how important that would be in my life as I dealt with different kinds of people. So, my history of protest is rich. My fourth grade teacher went to Kent State and she opened up opportunities for students to do things like see Dick Gregory, participate in walking for former Berkeley City Council member Ron Dellums when he ran for Congress, and those kinds of things. So that's a little bit of my background and what makes me unique here.
Thank you, Beverly. Question number two is also 3 minutes. Tell us about a time when you've demonstrated courage and championed diversity, equity, and or inclusion.
So recently,
what were the biggest challenges you encountered in doing so?
So I want to talk about two things. Number one is was an action that led to the California Transit Association Task Force on a more inclusive, diverse, and equitable organization. And number two is initiating what will be a more formal diversity, equity, and inclusion program at where I work right now at AC Transit. So number one, with the California Transit Association, in the midst of the last year, as all of you know, the nation has been reckoning with race issues like it has not before. And it's actually paid attention this time. I was actually in Los Angeles when a prior insurrection happened with Rodney King. And clearly the nation was not ready to reckon with racial issues at that time, which I believe was 1992. But when George Floyd was openly murdered in May of last year, the country was woke. And so at that time, so we had that going on, plus we were in the midst of COVID. And for transit agencies, this sudden decrease in the sudden shutdown led to an incredible decrease of rider revenues, mm-hmm. of staff outages because of COVID. And people were just overwhelmed. And people were just trying to keep the transit agencies moving along. But people understood that there was a problem, that there were issues that had to be addressed in terms of dealing with racial issues, because now the country had decided to actually pay attention to this. So what I did, I hadn't intended to be the chair of this at all. I brought it to my boss. I brought it to the chair of the California Transit Association. I brought it to the executive director of the CTA. And I said, you know, I can see the transit agencies are struggling with this. We've got to put together some programs to help the transit agencies do this. And then what they said was, okay, Beverly, you do it. And what this led to was the development of the IDEA, the Inclusive, Diverse, and Equitable Association, with a vision and recommendations that have to do with advocacy, influencing state and federal decision makers, member services, and also organizational management and development. The second thing was with AC Transit, because we didn't have a formal DEI program and we actually did not have an HR director at this time. And again, I kept jumping up and down to the general manager and saying, we've got to address this. And so he finally said to me, okay, you initiate the action that will get people together to work on this. And so I have been working with also a staff-led organization, sort of a groundswell, to move forward on our DEI program.
Thank you, Beverly. Perfect time, perfect timing. So the closing is 2 minutes, and it's somewhat of the standard closing question. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us about your candidacy? And certainly if you have any questions for us.
Thank you. My work at AC Transit is work that works, that includes working with and serving people across the spectrum of race, income, academic achievement that come together in public spaces. Public transit, like the use of public libraries, are for the community, and I would continue to strive for long-term financial stability and viability of those public organizations that exist to serve the public. There are many parallels that I see in working with these organizations that sometimes serve hard-to-serve populations have a need to reach out to people that are underserved. Again, we both work with disadvantaged communities. Libraries are like public transit, and they provide lifeline services. My background in working with large organizations, diverse groups of users and providers in public, private, nonprofit, and startup organizations, I believe would be of benefit to the board of the board here. I have experience in running a nonprofit literary organization. I've been treasurer on two boards of directors. And I respect people and their differences. And that's partly because I recognize I am different. And so I seek people out whose opinions they may not want to share. I purposely do that because I know that sometimes people won't come forward, and I seek to make sure that I have a diverse group of opinions when I am trying to pull together some decision making. I would be honored to serve with you as a colleague on the board, and I look forward to partnering with you in the community that I love right here in Berkeley, California.
Thank you so much. I want to thank you for your participation, your interest, the time you took on the applications and here in the interview, and certainly your concern and your care for our libraries and for our community and our city. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. John, I might take a 2-minute break.
Okay. You know, I think a 5-minute break is kind of in order. I need to stretch my legs, if nothing else. Can we come back at 7:17 in there?
I can do that.
I just want to let you know that you have 3 candidates left to interview. A few people have withdrawn.
Okay. Well, but I would like to stretch my legs a little.
That's fine.
Yeah, I need to stretch my legs too.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Beverly.
Thank you.
No more than 5 minutes, guys.
For sure. Thank you.
Hey, Eve?
Yes?
Did people drop out, or they're just, it's too late for them, or what? Oh, wait.
So Eileen Murphy just said, you have so many candidates. As a resident of Berkeley, I would be grateful to have any of them represent me on the Berkeley Library Board. Thank you so much for considering me. I will sign off and wish you good luck and save you 10 minutes.
So that sounds like then, a withdrawal to me, right?
And then Valerie McDermott said, as number 13 on this illustrious roster and with 2 preschoolers needing to be put to bed, I'm going to bow out tonight. I know the human you select will do great things for our libraries. Thank you and good luck, fellow library lovers.
Hmm. Yeah. All right.
So she's out then. Okay.
Okay.
And then Lisa Hedrick had bowed out earlier today by email.
Right. That I got. Okay. Thank you. They're dropping like flies.
Oh. We're still recording.
Oh, thank you. watch your tongue. Okay. Me, not anybody else.
Okay. Is Marjorie Hammer still the next one?
I think that's what I have.
Yeah.
Well, Eve said there are people that have dropped out.
Right. So we have Marjorie, Tamara, and then Kathy.
And that's it?
Yes.
And Eileen Murphy, who wanted to switch to tonight, is not here?
Yes, Murphy and McDermott dropped out.
Okay.
Dropped out.
All right, thank you.
You can see it in the chat.
I do occasionally, but...
Yeah.
It's just too distracting for me.
I understand.
I need to focus. All right. Everybody stretch. Everybody okay? Is Sophie back? Probably not yet. I don't see her here yet. Oh, she's here.
Timely.
Yes, you can take your mask off, I think. I know.
Did we not figure out?
I was at my acupuncturist the other day, and she said, stick your tongue out. And I had my mask on, and I stuck my tongue out. It's just like, it's part of what I am now. It's the mask is always there, right?
Did we still not figure out how to bring people back onto the attendee roster? Is there not a setting that we can identify for that?
The only thing I can... On my end, I can hide I can turn somebody's video off, and then on your setting, you can say hide people with no video.
Would you be willing to make me a co-host just so I can poke around? I won't do anything, but I know it can be done. We do it all the time. I tried texting the clerk, didn't reply. I tried the mayor, didn't reply. Maybe if I can see the settings.
One second. Where'd my list go?
Where's Alicia? Where's IT when we need them?
Okay, you're co-host now.
Okay.
All right. Do you want a couple of minutes or should we get keep going?
And I can promote Marjorie to panelist.
Good. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. And then when she's on screen.
All right, I did something wrong.
And Sophie, I can take over the timing part.
Oh, that would be great.
I think that would be great, Eve.
Yeah, thank you, Eve. I know I have an iPad and I have it seems to not do what I want it to do half the time.
So, Eve, I somehow hid Beverly. So I didn't
lost everybody on my screen for some reason.
Oh, you can see me.
Yeah, now the timer's on.
Yeah, we have the timer up.
I see Marjorie.
Marjorie is on, she's in attendance.
I'm in attendance.
Yes, I see her.
Yes.
I'm attentive and in attendance. Thank you.
We're just taking care of we're trying to take care of some technology here.
It's the way of the world these days.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I found it. I found where to do it. So I will make these folks back as attendees.
Okay, thank you. And Eve, you're handling the clock, correct?
Yes.
Good. All right, so Marjorie, welcome.
Thank you.
And again, you know we have, although less now than when we started tonight, we have a number of applicants, candidates. So we've limited this to 10 minutes each. But we do want to extend our appreciation for the time you took on the application, for the time you're taking here tonight, and certainly for your care and concern for the libraries and our community and our city. We appreciate it. And we do have, some really qualified candidates. So we start with question number one, which is 3 minutes. Are you with me, Marjorie?
Yes, I am.
Good. Just checking.
I'm waiting for you to read. I know the question, but you can read it also.
Thank you. No, I'll read it. What unique experiences, knowledge, and skills do you bring to serving on the Board of Library Trustees? How has your work in the community and its institutions informed your perspective?
Thank you. So I thought a lot about these questions and I'm just very excited to, I was so excited to hear about this position and I hope to participate in any way possible, even if I don't get to be a trustee. I love libraries. They've been a big part of my life ever since I was little. And I'm raised my children in Berkeley, and I also now have grandchildren in Berkeley going through the public schools. And I've used every single library in the city, including the tool lending library. Very familiar with them. I have a BA in English, and reflects it. I love reading. But then I decided to go on and get my degree as a registered nurse because I wanted to be able to participate in the community and give back to the community with a more concrete skill. And I liked the idea of nursing because I was really interested in science and healthcare also. And I wanted to work collaboratively in a team and something that was really community focused. So anyway, I think that my skills as a nurse really inform how I perceive the world and how I operate in the world. There's something called the nursing process where you gather data, you assess things, you diagnose what the problem is, you come up with a plan, you implement the plan, and then you evaluate how did it go. And then you can just think, well, this worked, this didn't work. Let's tweak it a little and do something, maybe do something completely different. But that process has really been beneficial in all sorts of areas of my life. And I think it actually would be great in terms of working as part of the library board. I have, as a person and also part of that nursing process, I really focus on being aware of what is, but also I'm the type of person who imagines the possible. So you can see from my work, like I was involved in one of the first women's studies programs in the country. There's only one other in San Diego. At Samuel Merritt University, where I teach in Oakland, I developed several initiatives that have been going on for over 10 years, one being the Community Reads Initiative, in which we invite people to read a book that's related to healthcare and social justice. And we've had these great speakers. We've had Nadine Berg-Harris, and we've had Dolores Huerta, and everybody said, how are you going to do this? It costs money. Somehow we've done it with practically no money and just passion. So I'm really good at coming up with ideas and making them happen. And I see libraries as part of our public health. So I'll talk about that in the next question.
Thank you, Marjorie.
Okay.
Question number two is also 3 minutes. Tell us about a time when you've demonstrated courage and championed diversity, equity, and or inclusion. What were the biggest challenges you encountered in doing so?
I really resonated with what Mary, the lawyer, said about, I can't really say that it's courage exactly, because I do think I have a lot of privilege in this society. But on the other hand, I've been very, very active my whole life politically and in all the work that I've done. I was very active in the CNA, the Nurses, California Nurses Association, the Nursing Union, and also in these initiatives that I brought forward at the university I'm at. When I first came to the university I'm at now, I had one student of color in my class, and I was like, where am I? It's right in, you know, Oakland. And I've been really involved with the DEI initiatives too. And we've really transformed the number, the diversity of the students, as well as the diversity of the faculty. And it's taken a lot of concerted effort over a period of time. Also, I was the director of the sickle cell program at Children's Hospital Oakland. And I was involved with the HIV program, even in the beginning of the epidemic, when we had children dying, and people didn't want to touch them, didn't want to go near them. And there's a lot of stigma involved with sickle cell anemia and HIV. So I was really involved in fighting for people getting treated as full human beings. Anyway, so I feel like another aspect of my life is that my family is very diverse itself. I mean, some of the members of my family are African-American, some are Central American, some are Sephardic. So there's been things that have gone on in my family that have been very difficult and quite a struggle. And and at the same time, I had struggles going on at work and things that I was trying to make happen against the administration, as one of the other people was talking about, the Daly City lawyer. Nobody wanted to do it, but we just did it anyway. Nobody wanted us to do it, but we did it anyway. But I think that struggling with things on all different fronts, it can be really challenging. But I really feel so passionately about the importance of treating all people with equally, raising up possibilities for everyone. And it just gives me energy actually to be fighting that fight. So I guess you could call it courage, but I look at it as I'm a human being and it's part of my duty on this planet to help make the world a better place. I hope you read my application because I put a lot of different things in there about stuff I've done. So I'm not repeating them tonight, but thank you.
Thank you. And we've all read. Yes. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay.
The closing, we have 2 minutes for a closing. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us about your candidacy? Any questions for us?
Wow. I don't know how you're going to figure this out. I have to say, I'm really, there's a number of people tonight who I already feel like, wow, we should get together because there's so many good ideas here. There must be some way to leverage this energy and these ideas. And there's a lot of really amazing people here tonight. But anyway, I really, really love libraries. I love the city of Berkeley, and I want to figure out how to make the library be all that it can be and a thriving, alive place. And I always look at libraries, even when I travel, I've seen them in this little tiny communities and big cities. And I know that there's so much more that the libraries could do and without spending a huge amount of money. So I just wanted to say that I hope to be a part of that in some way, making the libraries come alive now that we're able to be in person.
Thank you, Marjorie.
Okay.
Thank you for your participation.
Thank you.
Thank you for your interest.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm gonna. We have Tamara Holding Guren or Guren. Up next, I'm gonna shut my door. Only a second.
I'm gonna stop my video.
Sophie, can you advance the next person?
Sure. Who is next in our roster here?
Tamara Holden.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Tamara Guren?
Yes.
Okay. Promote to panelists. There we go.
Okay. Thank you.
But Tamara, you'll have to unmute and turn on the camera.
There you go. Ah.
So,
yay.
Yeah. Hello?
Yay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you. So Tamara, we have 10 minutes per candidate. You've probably heard what I've been saying. We have many candidates, so we're limited to the 10 minutes, unfortunately. I'd like to spend more time, but that wasn't in the cards. We have three questions for you to answer. The first question is 3 minutes.
Somebody is not muted.
Yeah, I heard that too. Okay, so Tamara, you're still with me, right?
Yeah, and I think all of us who are not the speaker should mute because there's echoes and there's also always the possibility that we'll get distracted and talk with somebody.
Right. Sophie, and there's also background noise. Absolutely.
Sophie, I've lost my ability to unmute or anything on my end.
Who is that speaking?
Eve?
Oh, you gave it all over to me. All right. I'll go around and mute people.
But Eve, you still have the clock, right? Uh-oh. All right, Tamara, question number one. Well, first of all, welcome and thank you for your participation and interest. But question number one, what unique experiences, knowledge, and skills do you bring to serving on the Board of Library Trustees? How has your work in the community and its institutions informed your perspective?
So I will speak only to unique experiences because I'm a book lover. I started reading at the age of four, and I'm going to focus on what is unique. Probably the only one of the applicants I had experience, honor, and privilege to work for the sixth largest library in the world, outside United States too. And so it gives a completely different perspective on the world of books and how the library should function. The second one, I have been involved in the private and public sector as a business and technology executive. And I think it's my technology background is what makes it different sets me aside from your other applicants. I have been working at the County of Alameda. It was elected officials, with the county staff, with private companies, with public employees. And so that gives me a really unique experience because I know how to negotiate. I know how to navigate this world of public and private sectors. I'm skilled in bad budgeting and management, and that definitely gives me some strengths. The next one is I'm an immigrant. I did not grow up in the United States. I'm bilingual, bicultural, and I lived in different places in the world, in Asia, in Russia, and in the United States. And so I do understand how people who come to this country feel when they walk through the door of the library, not knowing how to get the book, not knowing how to sign up for the library, not understanding language. So it is different. By my professional background of 30 some years, I'm a problem solver. This is what I'm trained to do. Identify the problem, figure out how to solve it by means of business process engineering, technology, fiscal discipline, and doing it through consensus, agreement, and collaboration with other people. It's only, people don't understand that technology really is about working with people and providing solutions to people. And then most recently, I became an accidental author. I published the book. So I kind of understand how the world looks from the other side of the fence. 3 minutes. I can't hear anybody.
Yeah, hold on 1 second. He needs to unmute himself.
Mute. There you go. Question number two is also 3 minutes. Tell us about a time when you've demonstrated courage in championing diversity, equity, and or inclusion. What were the biggest challenges you encountered in doing so?
So I work in the male-dominated industry. Less than 20-25% of women represent technology, less than 20-25% technology workers are women, and it is not an easy environment to be at. So I volunteered for causes that support advancement of women in technology and business. I have volunteered for years with the National Center of Women in Technology, helping disadvantaged girls to get scholarships to college, to get grants. I have been working with a program with the Department of State. It's a Tech Women program that helps women in other countries, Africa, Middle East, Asia, to advance professionally. We support social enterprises in all these countries. And it is definitely a very challenging environment where you have to connect with people, with women coming from completely different background, different world. And this is the program that I'm really passionate about. And we spend a lot of time working with these women. I also worked with other volunteer organizations and, you know, bringing women, regardless of their race, regardless of their background, into technology is something that I feel very strong and very, very passionately about. I wouldn't call it courage, but I would say it still takes some guts to come to the United States with $100 in your pocket and make it through the rough and tough world of technology and achieve what I achieved. And all that is done through collaboration, through constantly learning, hard work. I think that's all I can say.
Thank you, Tamara. Finally, we have 2 minutes for a closing. Mm-hmm. And is there anything else that you would like to share with us about your candidacy? And certainly if you have any questions for us.
I believe that the mission of public library system is to help people in the community to realize their potential. It is education. My parents were school teachers, and unfortunately, I didn't become one, but I think I was born an educator, and that's what I've done through my entire life. I ended up getting a degree in computer science and master's in business administration, but I always felt that my mission was to help people realize their potential. So I volunteered with the nonprofit that worked with the foster children, helping them to gain admission to colleges and getting through college. I teach classes whenever, wherever I can. I'm active participant in the internship program at work. We bring in students from high schools, from colleges, and helping them to learn what profession is about. And I do think that that is a mission that public library system is supposed to perform. And I would be absolutely delighted, privileged to help public library system achieve those goals, and would be absolutely proud and honored to be part of it. And by the way, I can really help you with technology. Whenever you have a problem with the Zoom session, I can be there for you. Absolutely, no problem. So I also think that it is important that our libraries definitely get into the 21st century as fast as possible to keep up with the younger generation that is so proficient and so capable technologically. And I think that is something that I can bring to the Board of Trustees.
Thank you, Tamara. That was the 2 minutes. Thank you so much.
Yes. Can I ask a question outside of my 2 minutes?
Of course.
So what do you think is the most challenging part of your job as a trustee?
I'm going to let somebody else take that. I in the time I've spent here, I'm going to let somebody else in.
Well, I'm not afraid. For me, it's budgeting. That is the most difficult thing for me because I don't have a background there. Anyone else want to fess up?
Well, it's actually a really enjoyable board to serve on.
Very much.
And so it's hard to dig through and find something that seems really challenging, but it was a very big responsibility for us to select a new executive director for the library after some years of tumult and a number of interim and acting directors. And so it was a big job to do a very thorough search, and we selected an absolutely spectacular candidate who is now our ED and is sitting here, Tess Meyer. But it was a big undertaking, and I think we all took it very, very seriously. And I think I can speak for all of us that we did a great job.
Yeah, I would agree with Sophie that was a lot of work, and it was a challenge.
And a lot of responsibility.
And I would also say that work, I think, brought us together as a board, as a team, which I didn't necessarily feel in my first year or two on the board. But I think it brought us together. And I'm actually proud of the work we did, especially in getting tests. I think we can all be proud of that. Tamara, thank you. Thank you for your time, your participation, your interest, and your passion for libraries and your care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
We're going to bring on, I think it's Kathy Kosinski. I want to say Kosinski, but there's no S in there, so I don't think it's Kosinski. Kosinki.
It is Kosinski.
There is a great.
Let's see.
Okay.
I see her.
Yep, are we here?
Hi. Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yep. There is an S.
Perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, there is an S.
It's
one of those last names that's scary when
on
you
my
look
sheet
at it,
there's but. No S, but it was it's a typo there. yeah, that makes it easier for me because I have an SKY at the end of my name, right? So Kathy, thank you for joining us. Thank you for participating. You've heard my run through here, 10 minutes per candidate. I'm going to start with question number one, 3 minutes. What unique experiences, knowledge, and skills do you bring to serving on the Board of Library Trustees? How has your work in the community and its institutions informed your perspective?
Excellent. Thank you. I just wanted to thank you all for having me here tonight. And for everyone that's listening, I'll try and keep it short. I know I'm the last one. So let me jump into it. So I think one of the strongest things I have to offer is I have a very strong relationship with the American Library Association Division United for Libraries. That's the division that serves friends, foundations, and trustee boards. It all began when they anecdotally saw that younger generations serve in these sort of advocacy groups at much lower rates than, you know, other generations. So they wanted to figure out how to combat it. So I, along with three other librarians across the country, we ended up researching, interviewing, and identified the problem as well as some strategies to fix that. And we actually ended up writing a workbook about it through ALA Editions. And I'm always happy to drop it off for you guys. I have a bunch of spares from the publisher. But all of this work has really made me extremely aware of all the different ways in which a library board can impact its community. It's really the decisions of a few that can impact everyone. And then in addition to this, I have my professional life where I've kind of always been library adjacent, I like to say, the past few years. I used to work at the Library of Michigan, which is the state library in Michigan. I was in the statewide library services department. There, I was able to get a lot of insight into some of the, I guess, bad sides of what can happen with board work, what happens if there's a lot of gridlocks, they don't get along, and how that can really, you know, end up being a detriment to the library as a whole. So from that, I kind of had, you know, the glossy allure of libraries is a little diminished. So now I also know some strategies from that for getting everyone to work together and get to the common good of the entire community. I also currently work at the Khalifa Group, which is a library consortium that serves over 200 libraries in the state of California. And in this role, I can see a lot of the overall trends that go throughout the state, as well as a lot of opportunities to partner or learn from other libraries, just to, you know, kind of, we live in this Bay Area community, but we can also learn from more people both within the state of California and throughout the US.
Have to unmute myself, there we go. Thank you, Kathy.
I would keep it short.
No, very good, thank you. Question number two. Again, 3 minutes. Tell us about a time when you've demonstrated courage in championing diversity, equity, and or inclusion. And what were the biggest challenges you encountered in doing so?
Excellent, thank you. So like other prior candidates have said, the word courage kind of throws me off a little bit. So I'm just gonna talk about the work I have done. So specifically within my work at Khalifa Group, as well as at the Library of Michigan, a big part of the EDI that I've been working on is accessibility. And the biggest challenges I've really encountered are corporations and just the sort of friction you get when you try to work towards just ADA accessibility and just, you know, basic acceptance to allow every single member of the community to use something. And I've been working really hard on that. And actually earlier this year on my birthday, I got an email from one of the vendors I've been working with about how they've made some very basic changes that I've been pushing for the past few years that'll allow people without sight to better use their product. So it's just sort of the relentless energy that I go with this that I think is really helpful. Another function that I was working on is United for Libraries actually has this program called Literary Landmarks. It's where they honor a specific site that is either associated with an author or their literary works. That can be like the Plaza Hotel for Eloise, or there's the town of Idlewild in Michigan, which is where a lot of Harlem Renaissance authors used to vacation. And over the past few years, they've run into some issues about past awards that were given in, you know, prior times when things were different. The big example they had is they had to rescind the award to the Daughters of the Confederacy. So they wanted to revoke it and they realized that they didn't have a process for this. So I was part of their task force that was done in conjunction with the Office for Diversity, Literacy and Outreach through ALA. And it was to come up with sort of a system and this overall process to review incoming nominations as well as steps for rescinding an existing landmark. I thought going into this was going to be very easy, but I learned that the task force would butt heads. We ran into a lot of the same issues that you can see with the discussion of taking down statues of Confederate generals, things like that. So some on the committee saw the honoring these individuals or revoking their awards was a form of censorship. So what I ended up doing is I compiled a list of the many different ALA divisions and their state EDI statements and incorporated them together into one guideline for review, which was, does the author and or their works have a history of describing historically marginalized communities such as BIPOC, LGBT+, disabled and others with fairness, safety and respect? And that sounds like an innocuous statement, but a couple weeks ago we came up against a beloved children's classic author who in their sequel, they did not treat Native Americans with, you know, safety, fairness, and respect. So it was one of those times where I really had to stand my ground. And it's one of those things where, you know, back up for review and rather than just being automatically passed and accepted.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Kathy. So our closing is 2 minutes. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us about your candidacy? And certainly if there are any questions for us.
Sure. So you may have noticed on my application, I am very new to Berkeley. I moved to California last year, a month before the shutdown, and I moved to Berkeley earlier this year in February. And I will say that being originally from Michigan and everything, coming back to Berkeley, I lived in Ann Arbor for years, so it's kind of felt like coming home. I will say the weather is much better here than in Michigan, but I really look forward to the opportunity to serve the community if given this, you know, chance to do this. And then the final thing I would really like to share, and it kind of echoes what Dana mentioned earlier, is more of sort of for the deciding members and when you give your suggestion to people who nominate for the board. And I just really implore everyone making the decision to take a look at the demographics of Berkeley in the community and compare them to the representation on the board across all areas. So there's race, religion, income, age, disability, education, immigrant status, homeownership versus rental, which is the big thing for my generation now, essentially everything, because a library board that reflects the community is truly important.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for your time, your interest, and certainly your care and concern for the libraries and for our community. We appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Okay. So we have no more people to interview.
Nobody more to interview. Here's a comment in the chat from Marjorie Hammer. I've been on executive search committees and it is very challenging, but also rewarding, especially when you find and hire a great candidate. Thank you for your work.
Yeah, I would echo that. It's challenging, but really satisfying when you find the person you were looking for. Thank you, Tess, for being that person. I don't know, board members, we really shouldn't be deliberating tonight because it's not really on the agenda, but if there are any final comments or concerns, raise them now so I can be prepared next week. I thought generally it went fine. We had a little snafu with the clock here and there, but you know, that's minor. We had good candidates. We have a lot to think about, mull over, chew on, however you want to describe it. But board members, anybody, any concerns or anything?
John, when we're using the timer, and I'm putting this out there, so if any of you know how to do this, you can tell me. When we're using the timer, I'm on my iPad. When you're using the timer, it takes over my whole screen, and the candidate who's speaking, if it's you, John, asking the question or the candidate replying, is in a little corner of the bottom right-hand side of my screen, about a ninth of my screen. So the timer gets pride of place, and I don't care about seeing that timer. So I wish we could figure out another way of how to time the candidates. I would trust Eve to do it and just say 30 more seconds, just, you know, to break in that way would be much better to me, because I'd rather see them more clearly than the timer on the screen.
Generally, I have an iPad also. Sometimes it does what I want it to do and sometimes it doesn't. But if you click or double click on the screen you want, that generally will be the largest screen, generally.
I tried clicking on that timer in about a billion places and didn't get it.
Try clicking on the person in the corner.
Yeah, it'll swap you between the screens if you double click on you want to
click
be
or double click.
One.
Yeah. Yep.
I see. Tess, were you raising your hand to give me advice?
Tess.
Hi, I'm sorry. I've got background noise right now. I think basically what we can commit to do is just explore options and see what seems the most user-friendly and review offline so that we're able to address the issue in a way that works for everybody during our next meeting.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked, I'm, you know, of course you don't realize that until you're in it, but we probably should have had a little bit of a dress rehearsal. But I also feel that we need to have the same circumstances for all of our interviews. I also would have liked to, if maybe each of us were asking a question each time so that the rest of the board could sort of interact. But I think that the most important thing is to be fair to everybody. And so I think we need to be fair, we need to have the same setup for the next candidates. And Diane, I think I'd be happy to spend some time just looking online at how to solve that problem for you on your iPad.
That'd be great. And I could I could probably move to a different computer too. So I'll do my best to solve it also.
Kathy Huff just asked when the next meeting is. Next Monday, the 21st.
5:30.
Yes, same time, same place.
Yeah, and then I think in our next meeting, we're going to interview somewhere around the same number of people, but then we're going to deliberate. Is that the plan?
Not until July.
No, we don't have deliberation on the agenda until July.
Okay. All right. So, well, I've taken very copious notes, and I know those will come in handy.
Yep.
And hopefully everybody else did. And if not, we'll do that after the meeting because we want to make sure that distant memory is not an issue.
I can also send you a link to the recording. That'll help.
Oh, that probably would help. Thank you, Eve.
Thank you, Eve.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think at some point we should also come up with a little, and it doesn't have to be tonight, but maybe I think we should come up with some kind of a framework for our deliberation so that it's not a complete, unstructured conversation. And I don't know, Tess, if... you can maybe work with John or
so that we are not making
it up on the fly when we're in the meeting.
Right. Shoot ideas to Tess, and I assume that there will be an agenda meeting, and we'll have part of that agenda meeting will be that discussion.
Okay. So we'll, if we have an idea, just send it to Tess.
I'm certainly hoping that we will have at least a loose structure. Okay. But the board, of course, has to agree to that.
Then we should talk about that at our next meeting, probably agendize it. The conversation we're having right now is not agendized, so.
Yeah, it's true. Okay. Well,
all right.
I was just basically giving you information about the agenda meeting, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, no, I was just saying we shouldn't get into the specifics.
I agree.
Fine for us to decide that we want to talk about it at our next meeting.
Absolutely. All right. Anything else? Amy, Diane, Sophie, we're okay. Tess, we're okay.
Well, we still have some of our interviewees are in the attendee, and so I would just like to thank them again.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
So I think we still need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Yes.
Second.
So, Eve, I think we need roll call.
Okay. Trustee Solovsky?
Yes.
Trustee Roth?
Sure. Yes.
Davenport?
Yes.
And Trustee Hahn?
Yes.
Again, thank you,
everybody.
Thank you, participants. Thank you, board members. Thank you, staff. Thank you. One and all. Have a good evening.
Thank you.